Exposing these hoodlum dogs would have been easier and more fun if I'd had Slim backing me up with his shotgun. But he had botched his part of the mission, and I was left all alone on life's front lines. It's not the kind of situation we hope for, but that's where I was. And it was time for action. I took a big breath of air, rose from the weeds in which I had been crouching, and announced my presence to the mutts. "Okay, guys, the party's over. We've had you under surveillance from the moment you set foot on this ranch. We know who you are and who you pretend to be. We know why you're here and what mischief you have in mind. Get off the ranch right this minute or..." Huh? They seemed to be laughing, you might say. That seemed odd, but I let them laugh. I had an idea that they wouldn't be laughing for long. Dog One was the first to speak.
"Ha! Coyote always got mischief on mine, and Coyote make gooder mischief than whole world."
Now it was my turn to chuckle. "Ha! Listen, Buster, you can drop the phony Coyote lingo. It won't sell, sorry. In the first place, the accent's wrong. In the second place, you don't sound dumb enough to be a Coyote. In the third place..." At that very moment, the wind shifted, and I caught the unmistakable musky odor of... That smell was real strong, and I noticed that the hair along my spine bone had more or less raised itself. Almost as though... And I noticed for the first time that Dog One had, shockingly yellow eyes and big teeth. Real big. Huh? My mind was tumbling through this latest churn of events. I couldn't believe this had happened to me, but all the evidence was beginning to suggest that it had. Okay, let me explain everything and get you up to speed. Remember our discussion about the phony Coyote profile and the phony Coyote dialect? Well, it had been even phonier than I could have suspected in my wildest dreams. For you see, these guys had used the ultimate disguise. They had disguised themselves as themselves. And I had fallen for it. Hook, line, and sewer. You know who those guys were? Not Buster and Muggs, as you and Miss Viola had suspected all along, but Rip and Snort, the Coyote Brothers. Pretty shocking, huh? You bet it was. And fellers, all at once, I was in a world of trouble. They were staring at me, licking their chops, waiting for... something. Lunch, perhaps. Or supper. Nothing that would do me any good. I tossed a glance back to the house. Slim was nowhere in sight. Racing back to the house was out of the question. I knew I couldn't outrun him. I turned back to the brothers and tried to squeeze up a casual smile.
"Well, as I was saying, Snort, it's great to have you back in our neighborhood. How have you been?"
"Been hungry."
"Yeah? How's old Rip?"
"Been hungry."
"I see. Well, Just then, I noticed an important detail. "Say, Snort, did you know you've got a porcupine quill in your nose? You know, porcupines are very interesting..." He clubbed me over the head. "I guess that's a sensitive subject, so... How's the, family?"
"Everybody hungrier and hungriest."
He grinned and licked his chops.
"Been long time for not eat big yummy food."
"Oh, you mean rabbits and rodents and such as that, I suppose. I mean, that's what you guys eat, right?" He shook his head.
"Guys hungry for bigger something. Maybe nice fat ranch dog, oh boy."
"Fat ranch dog, huh? Gee, it's a shame I'm so skinny, right? I mean, just look at these ribs showing."
"Too dark for seeing ribs, and Coyote not care anyway. Ribs good for chewing."
"Yes, but listen, Snort. If being hungry is your problem, how about this?
We've got worlds of dog food. Great stuff, no kidding, you'd love it. Crunchy, delicious. You've tried our dog food, right? Remember how good it was? He shook his head.
Snort, remember crunchy sawdust. Too boring for Coyote.
Boring. I ran that through data control and began to formulate a desperate plan. I'm beginning to understand, Snort. See, your basic problem isn't hunger, it's boredom. Isn't that true? You're bored with your life. With the dull routine of being, well, of being a cannibal. You get up, crawl out of your hole, howl at the moon, go out on the prowl, hunt, eat, and go back to bed. Snort, no wonder you're bored. That's a very boring life. They stared at me without the slightest expression in their faces. See, just look at you now, staring at me with bored eyes and bored faces. You don't know what to say because you're both so boring you can't talk. They held a conference and whispered back and forth. Then Snort came over and clubbed me on the head with his paw. Hey, what was that for?
Coyote brothers bored. Hit dummy ranch dog on head for fun. Ho, ho!
There, so you admit it, you are bored.
Coyote brothers not admit for nothing.
Okay, don't admit it, but you and I both know it's true. He clubbed me again.
Hey, what was that for?
Coyote not like truth coming from dummy ranch dog.
Oh, so that's it. You don't enjoy hearing the truth about yourselves, that you're just a couple of miserable, boring, flea-bitten cannibals. And even your fleas are bored, isn't that right? Their yellow eyes were flaming.
Hunk talks stupider and stupidest. Better shut stupider mouth.
I paced back and forth in front of them and gave them a minute to think. Then I continued. Okay, guys, I called this meeting because, well, frankly, I've been worried about you. Lately, you've been so, well, lifeless, listless, uninspired, bored, shall we say. I stopped pacing and faced them. I think you've got creeping terminal entropy. Let's check some symptoms. Have you ever suspected that you have only four legs? They nodded. And only one tail? They nodded. Only two ears? They nodded. That's pretty boring, isn't it? They nodded. And have you ever felt more like you do right now than you did a while ago? They nodded. Well, there you are. You're in the early stages of creeping terminal entropy. But I have some good news, guys. I think I can help you. They went into another whispering session. Then Snort said,
Rip not feel so swell. Want to hear cure for creepum, termite, hoopum, hikum. Hunk better have good cure or might end up for coyote supper. Ho, ho.
Okay, guys, here's the deal. I moved closer to them, even though I could hardly stand the smell. I dropped my voice to a whisper. I guess you've heard the old saying, music soothes the savage beast, right? Snort shook his head.
Coyote plenty savage, but not like beats.
Exactly, that's my whole point. You hate beats, so you must love music, right? They talked this over in mutters and mumbles. Then,
Coyote not give a hoot for love.
Okay, but you like music, right? More whispers.
Coyote not like all music, only trashy coyote song. Not give a hoot for pretty foo-foo song.
Great, I think this'll work. Don't you see, Snort? If you hate beats and foo-foo music, a trashy coyote song will pull you out of this terrible hoop-em-hike-em. They exchanged puzzled glances and shrugged.
Sound pretty crazy to Rip and Snort.
Yeah, well, it sounded pretty crazy to me too, but I could see that it was working. I plunged on into phase two. Okay, Snort, I think we're ready. You guys have the rest of the night to come up with a trashy coyote song. Then at dawn's first light, or heck, even later, you can, well, sing it. He grinned and poked me in the chest with his paw.
Ha! Big joke on Hunk. Guys too bored to sing. Want to hear Hunk do song.
Me? No, now wait a minute, Snort. See, I don't have a song and, well, I don't do my best composing under pressure. I'm sure you can understand that. I searched their faces for something. Compassion, understanding, sympathy. It wasn't there. You expect me to come up with a song out of thin air? They nodded. That's outrageous. It's impossible. It can't be done. Sorry. They stood up and began licking their chops.
Oh, what the heck? I guess I could try, but I don't have a subject to sing about.
Hunk, not sing about foo-foo or love.
Okay, now we're cooking. No songs about foo-foo or love. Got it. Tell me more. And take all the time you need, guys. I'm in no hurry. Honest.
They sat down and went into a whispering conference.
When they turned back to me, Snort pointed to his nose.
Snort got porcupine quill in nose.
Yes, I noticed that right away.
Porcupine quill make big hurt on coyote nose.
I can imagine.
So Hunk do song about porcupine, ha ha.
I searched their faces again. They were serious. You want me to do a song about porcupines? They grinned and bobbed their heads up and down. Snort, listen. There's nothing musical or inspiring about porcupines, honest. I mean, it's just impossible to... I can't possibly... They raised their lips into snarls. Porcupines, huh? No problem. Give me 2 hours and I'll come up with something. They shook their heads.
Give Hunk 5 minutes and better have good song about porcupine.
5 minutes, huh? That's not much time, Snort, and I hope you understand. He bashed me over the head.
By George, I think I feel a song tugging at the shirt tail of my heart. Hang on, guys, I'll be right back. Don't leave.
That got a big laugh. I turned my back on them and went into deepest concentration. A song about porcupines?
For Pete's sake, was there any subject on earth less inspiring or less musical than porcupines?
I couldn't think of one. Who could compose a song about a lumbering, dim-witted animal with a pincushion on his back? Me, that's who. And I had to do it in record time.
You probably think I choked under the pressure and failed to deliver the song, that I was devoured by the Cannibal Brothers and the story's over.
Ha! Not even close. Not only did I whip up the song in record time, but I also performed it before their very eyes. Here's how it went.
Now gather around, lift up your ears. I've got a little song I want you to hear about a guy who's paid his dues. This little guy's got the porcupine blues. Now little Porky has a lonesome life. He's got no friends and he's got no wife. He's got no socks, 'cause he's got no shoes. He's got a case of the porcupine blues. If you scratched his back, tried to be his pal, it would hurt your paw, it would make you howl. It would make him sad, but he just can't lose that lonesome case of the porcupine blues. Stays apart, wears a coat of needles. He lives on bark, grub worms and beetles. If you think that's great, you'd better get the news. It's a lousy deal, called the Porcupine Blues. So when you think your life's a bummer, be glad you ain't a porcupummer. It's a sad old trail for the feller who's a permanent case of the porcupine blues. It's a sad old trail for the feller who's got a permanent case of the porcupine blues.